What up, good people? It's your man Lynn in the building. Bringing you another episode of Give Me the Mic, Raw and Unrehearsed. Oh man, it's been a minute. Your man has been busy. You know, life, family, making things happen, man. Hey, look, I wanted to get at y'all right quick, man. I had something on my mind for a while that I've been, thinking to myself, it's about time to talk about this. And what I want to talk about is one of the most misused quotes that Jesus made in the Word, I think, ever. You know, I'm sure somebody else can find some other things that are misused and all of that, but it just seems as though I hear this thing an awful lot, you know, and I don't really know what that's all about, you know, but I just think that we as a people of God have to come to a place where we're able to read God's word and look at a situation for totality versus just snatching out some verses that work for us in a particular situation. So without further ado, I am going to tell you what I'm talking about. The most misused quoted scripture that I believe, you know, that's around my ears anyway, is in John chapter 8, when Jesus tells those around him, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." I've heard so many people say, "He that hath no sin, let him cast the first stone." I've heard people, you know, cursing, saying, you know, "Tell this MF and that, you know, mother spliff and that," and then say right after that, "Let he who has no sin cast the first stone." And to me, this is like almost saying, "For real?" You know, for real? Are you serious? Come on, man. Let's get real. So, you know, I thought about this, you know, and you know, I've heard a number of believers make this statement when challenged about their lifestyle. And me, you know, I'm one of those people who believe that, you know what, man, if it's what you're doing, then it's what you're doing, you know, and you got to learn how to accept responsibility for what you're doing, you know, and you also have to understand that if you are a believer, then God has an expectation for you to move away from what he believes is wrong. So, you as a believer have to accept that. So when somebody comes to you and says something to you that, you know, you don't particularly care for, maybe you thinking to yourself, "Well, you know, I'm working on that now anyway." And then your statement is, "Well, you know, let he who has, you know, no sin, let him cast the first stone." Or you'll say something like, "Well, you know, don't judge lest you be judged." As if God doesn't say, as if there's no place in the Word of God where God tells us to judge. He absolutely says, if you're going to judge, judge righteously. So there's nothing wrong with calling an ace an ace and a spade a spade. There's nothing wrong with calling something like you see it. So I think, you know, this is grossly misused, and we have to stop this nonsense. You know, I'm telling you, man, far too many believers use this. And so here it is. Here is what I think of this statement. First of all, We have to understand what's going on with this statement. Why is this statement even being made? Okay? And the only way we're going to do that is that we go to the Word and read around it. If I'm you, I'm going to go 2-3 chapters out ahead of it and see what's going on that makes this statement so relevant. Why is Christ making this statement to this particular body of people? Why is Christ at this point making this statement? That's what I want to know. As a believer, I don't want to just be saying stuff. I want to read and know and understand what it is I'm doing, you know? So if you go and you, let's just say you start in chapter 6. Well, you know, Jesus is already having to avoid being caught because it's not his time. But they're already after Jesus. They're already seeking to kill him. They're already seeking to take his life. He's already under that gun. He's already under that pressure. Already. Okay? So the Pharisees and scribes are trying to find anything, and I mean anything, to give them the excuse to take him and kill him. Because that's their whole plan at this point. They believe he is full of blasphemy. They believe that he is not who he says he is. And they are also at the same time trying to protect what it is that they have grown to have. So there's a lot of things going on in this thing besides just, well, you know, let him who has no sin cast the first stone. So you get into chapter 7 and, you know, the Pharisees and scribes are still trying to figure out, you know, how can we get to this guy? How do we get this guy? You know, I mean, they sent people out to get him, and the people went out and were amazed by what Christ was saying. I mean, man, I mean, who is going to take this guy for us? And they're looking for the reasons. They're looking for ways. And you got to remember, man, I mean, what really spurred this on is that Christ healed somebody on the Sabbath. And that was like, you're not supposed to do that. So there's a lot going on, man. A lot going on. So here comes the moment now. They go and they find this woman who is legitimately guilty of adultery. I mean, she's guilty, man. She did it. And in their culture and in the time and in the scripture at that day and time, well, she had to be stoned to death. Now look, these men could have easily taken this woman and stoned her, and nobody would have said anything. But they came to Jesus with her. Why? Because they want to trip him up to give themselves even more reason to do what it is that they want to do. And Christ knows this. Jesus knows this. Okay, so they bring the woman out there, and she's been caught in the very act of it. Okay? And they say, oh, hey, listen, you know, in the law of Moses, we're supposed to stone her. What do you say? Now listen, Jesus has been in the temples teaching about the law. And people are marveled at his teaching about the law. Listen, Jesus knows the law, and they know he knows the law. And if Jesus knows the law, but yet goes against the law, then they can claim he's a hypocrite and then at that point take him and do whatever he wants to do. You got to understand the circumstance. But Christ had already said a number of times, it was not yet his time. So this young lady is there standing, unsure of her fate, unsure of what is about to happen to her. Now listen, let's get it straight right here. She's not innocent. She's committing adultery. That's not innocent. That's a sin. That is a sin. Let's not get that twisted. This is not some innocent lady standing in the middle of a courtyard that's about to be wrongly killed. That is not the circumstance. The circumstance is that she is guilty. Pay attention to that. She is guilty. And they know she's guilty. And Jesus knows that she's guilty. So he takes his time. And his response to all of these people is, okay, let he who has no sin cast the first stone at her. So that's what Jesus says to them. Now, once everybody has dispersed, because the word says that they felt bad in their conscience, when everybody has dispersed, Jesus looks at the woman, or does he? I can't remember. But Jesus says to the woman, where are your accusers? And she says, well, I guess I have none. And then Jesus says, okay, well, I ain't gonna condemn you either. But what's very important here is that Jesus then says to this woman, go and sin no more. That's what he says to her. Go and sin no more. He didn't give her a pass, man. He said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, hey, you know, I know you're struggling with this. I know you've been having some hard times. I know it ain't been going on that good with you. I know your husband, he ain't been paying enough attention to you. Hey, if you keep struggling with that, I understand. No. Jesus said, go and sin no more. That's what he said, man. That's what he said. So look. Let me show you this picture that I have of this situation. That woman is you and me. That woman that Christ is dealing with there in that square, that's you and me, man. That's you and me. That's you and me. That's you and me and all of our sin and being dead to him. That's you and me. When we come to him, we come to him dirty. We come to him dirty and lifeless and full of gunk and all clogged up. And we come to him and the world has accused us of being whatever it is that somebody's told you in your life, that you're nothing, that you are nobody, that you're a misfit. And some of us have done the very thing, adultery in our life. Some of us have stolen. Some of us have killed. Some of us have come to Christ in a bad way. And this woman shows up in Christ's presence as an adulterer. But she leaves redeemed. That's you and me, good people. We show up on God's doorstep, terrible misfits, full of a bunch of garbage. And Christ, when we accept him, he changes all of that. We come to him in a pile of heap and leave brand new. And that's what that young lady did. And that's what that situation was about. It was about redemption, man. It was about his grace and his mercy being put on display. He was getting ready to go to the cross to finish what he started, to make what we have right now a possibility. And if you look closely at this, this woman arrived to him as an adulterer, and she left uncondemned and redeemed. And the instruction that God gave her, that Jesus said to her, was, go and sin no more. So look, if you're a believer out there and you doing something you know you ain't got no business doing and you living foul, don't say to somebody who called you out on the carpet, let he who has no sin cast the first stone. Don't do that. Don't use that as an excuse to remain in your nonsense. Get yourself together. Get in the face of God and remember, you were in a bad state when you entered the presence of God. And by his grace and his mercy, you left redeemed.
But redemption means you don't get to go back. Redemption means God is saying to you, right here and right now, turn away from your nonsense and quit playing, man. Come on, y'all. We can do this. We can do this, but we got to keep it real. We got to keep it real. We got to quit playing these games and acting like nobody can tell us when we're wrong. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever get to know me, if you're ever around me, one thing you know from me about me for sure is that if you tripping and you acting foul, listen, I'm not going to just throw stones at you. I'm going to throw boulders at you. Because I love you and I want to see greatness happen in your life. And that's just how it is. That's just what we got to do. We got to do what we got to do and quit whining about it. We're people of God, man. Let's get this done. And let's quit saying little cliche things to keep us in our mess. Get up out your mess. You need help? Call somebody who's willing to help you. Get around some people who are willing to tell you that your stuff stank. Man, come on, man. We can do this. Together we can do this, good people. It's your man, Lynn. The Day Jesus Spoke hiphop.com. Keep it locked. I'm out of here, man. I got mad love for y'all. Y'all keep praying for me. Y'all know I need it. Peace. I'm out.
Now living by the way of the world, trifling. The stresses and the pressures have got me fighting. Struggling every day to maintain my peace. Yet and still I persist to resist the beast. Feelings of frustration buried deep within. Got to subdue my anger before I slip into sin. One righteous man living in a foul land, trying to make an A-plus out of my lifespan. But it's hard to make a buck today without bugging. Got a 4-year degree and still struggling. But I'ma keep it real and proceed to mic checking. Cause I'm down to get my blessing in the 1997. Nothing's holding me back and nothing's stopping me. I'm down to do this hip-hop thing and do it properly. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I ain't studying about the way of the world.
Way of the world, it's the way of the world.
Not studying about the way of the world. From the projects to the top notch, from the low-ranking citizens to the upper crest, my brother, it don't stop. Society is now corrupt, and since I'm a Christian, I got to be a little tougher, so I bring it raw. They put the drugs and the guns there for us to find, knowing that we work hard, but only make nickels and dimes. They figure pretty soon we gotta break. So they crushed the black.